It's nice of Saul Bellow to publish his novellas in inexpensive paperbacks. Sort of regular American of him, populist and democratic. I just wish these novellas had more bite. The Bellarosa connection improves on The Theft, his previous paperback original. It's feistier, full of headlong motion and slapdash dazzle. But it stops so suddenly, as if worried about the great theme around the next curve, that we collide. There's reader whiplash. We've barely gotten acquainted with Harry Fonstein, a European Jew rescued from Hitler by the Broadway impresario Billy Rose, and Fonstein's American wife, Sorella, who wants Rose to acknowledge his personal responsibility for Fonstein's implausible survival. And we want to hear more from our nameless narrator about the meaning of it all. But this narrator, a man made wealthy by teaching memory tricks to politicians, business executives, and members of the defense establishment, an American Jew perhaps too much assimilated, chooses to forget. Forgetting, we're told, is the sleep of consciousness, a kind of death. But what exactly is he choosing not to remember? The Americanization of the Jews? The end of innocence in the Nazi death camps? Jerusalem itself? We don't really know the narrator well enough to decide for ourselves, and Bellow, from whom we expect to flourish, turns off like a radio. Until then, on the radio, there's been snap, crackle, and pop. The problem here isn't ideas. Bellow is full of them, promiscuous, even disdainful. The canned sauerkraut of Spengler's Prussian socialism, complained Herzog years ago. The cant and rant of the pipsqueaks about inauthenticity and forlornness. And the problem isn't language, either. His art, as always, is brilliant, twitchy talk. Mandarin and colloquial, long ironies and low laughs, Talmudic mutter and gangster slang, Melville, Huck Finn, Rudolf Steiner, Lenny Bruce. Here's his description of Billy Rose. Billy was as spattered as a Jackson Pollock painting, and among the main trickles was his Jewishness, with other streaks flowing toward secrecy, streaks of sexual weakness, sexual humiliation. At the same time, he had to have his name in the paper. As someone said, he had a bug-like tropism for publicity. And who else but Bellow would see the slapstick side of death camps, the Dada and surrealism? Prisoners were sent naked into a swamp and had to croak and hop like frogs, he says. Freezing slave laborers lined up on parade in front of the gallows, and a prison band played Viennese light opera waltzes. The problem, instead, is character. Fonstein's too indistinct to care about. Of Sorella, we know that she's fat. She made you look twice at a doorway, we're told. When she came to it, she filled the space like a freighter in a canal lock. But I wonder, why does she have to be fat? Except that there's invariably something wrong, something physically threatening, about women in Saul Bellow. Why not tall, skinny, blonde, or bald? When our narrator chooses to forget, is this because he's American, rich, childless, divorced, an advisor to military types? None of this really adds up. Cynthia Ozick's The Shawl, just published, is also about memory. And it's even shorter than the Bellarosa connection. And yet it breaks the heart, because it has one.